Good morning. After 10 years of church planting efforts in a Midwestern university city, worship attendance averaged 10 adults. The pastor's explanation: we thought more Mennonites would be moving here. He thought that way because most Mennonite churches started in North America when enough Mennonites moved to a new area. That's how we do it. Why and how a congregation begins dramatically shapes its trajectory for decades. It's similar to why early childhood years are so crucial in shaping human development. Acts 11 is the story of how a new church started. Not just any old church, but the oldest church in Christendom. Luke, the author of Acts, was a member of that church. It was in Antioch. The story begins. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen. Stephen was one of the new deacons in chapter 6. He had a brief but dynamic teaching and healing ministry. But because he unapologetically told others about Jesus wherever he went, he upset the religious leaders. They had him stoned to death. His death set in motion the scattering of the early church. Many had to flee for their lives. Saul, persecutor in chief of the early church, went door to door to arrest followers of Jesus. But note, by the end of this story, we find Saul, in a very different assignment. Now you'll notice on the map, if you remember where the goats went to Lebanon, that's not too far from where Antioch is, up farther north from Lebanon, right at the north part intersects with the east and west part of the Mediterranean Sea. And the text says they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Now, Phoenicia was along the coastline north of where the goats went. And then Antioch is up in that corner of the Mediterranean Sea. And Cyprus is that first island that's off in the Mediterranean Sea, not too far away. Remember Jesus' final words before ascending in Acts 1:8? But the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power. Then you will tell everyone about me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and everywhere in the world. So Acts 11 is where the everywhere in the world started. So the text says they traveled, those that were spread by the persecution traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, and they spoke the word to no one except Jews. Luke is making a really big point by putting that little detail in there. The church was growing everywhere throughout the Mediterranean world because Jews were spreading everywhere and the new Jewish believers were telling them about Jesus. But this was also a time of great stress and anxiety for the early church. How many new believers were also going to die? The persecution was horrible. And so many ended up being refugees in strange lands. The future was uncertain. What was ahead for this new movement? Sound familiar? Luke continues, but among them were some men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch, now remember, we've already noted Cyprus, that island off the coast, but where is Cyrene? If you go down straight south to Egypt, to where the Mediterranean Sea starts, coastline starts heading east and west again, and go across much of the North Africa coast, you'll see a bump. And that's Cyrene, quite a ways away in Africa. These Jewish believers in Jesus picked up new customs and cultures and cuisine in these faraway places, new ways of doing things. Some of the Jews who followed Jesus from Cyprus and Cyrene did something that had never been done before, according to Luke, in the early church. They spoke to Gentiles. They spoke to Greeks about Jesus. They must have missed that memo about only telling other Jews about Jesus. But they were simply doing what Jesus instructed his followers to do: tell everyone everywhere about him. Many of us know people like that, those people that are kind of on the margins or outsiders who don't know our rules, who show up and do things differently, or just have the audacity of suggesting a different way of doing things. It was in Antioch where Jewish followers of Jesus from other cultures started telling Gentiles about Jesus. It was in Antioch, not Jerusalem. It was in Antioch, far away up north. So what happened when a few from the margins broke an unwritten rule? Verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord. And what happened when the denominational headquarters in Jerusalem got wind of it? They sent Barnabas on a fact-finding trip. News of this came to the ears of the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced, and he exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were brought to the Lord. Well, it sounds like Barnabas was quickly overwhelmed with the ministry demands in Antioch. So he went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when they found him, brought him to Antioch. So it was that for an entire year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. Barnabas recognized a dynamic spiritual gift in Saul. Doesn't sound like Barnabas debated about who he should get. He knew right away he needed Saul to come and help. But remember, Saul had just experienced a dramatic transformation from persecutor in chief of the early church to apostle in chief. Saul had his detractors. Many were skeptical. How can you change teams that quickly? Barnabas saw the spiritual gifts in Saul. Luke concludes, and it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. For Luke, this was the start of something really big. It was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians, Christ ones. And this is the story of the birth of a church which remains to this day the Antiochian Orthodox Church. Now, as Joe alluded at the beginning of the service, it's All Saints Day. And originally, individual congregations remembered the anniversaries of those who were martyred in their own congregations. They declared it a holy day and had a feast. But after a while, so many Christians were martyred that the church eventually set aside one day to remember All Saints. The nameless believers from Cyprus and Cyrene who started telling Greeks about Jesus probably didn't make it into official sainthood, but let's remember them and give thanks on this All Saints Day. Now, what factor in why Jewish Christians assumed they should only tell other Jews about Jesus was their extreme identity as being different from all other people groups. They were different. Jesus was a Jew. Why would anyone else be interested? I see some similar dynamics in our identity as Mennonites as the quiet in the land. Why would anyone else be interested? Virtually all immigrant groups to North America for centuries now tend to lose their language, culture, and religion around the third or fourth generation. Always a few exceptions, but there's two notable exceptions, Jews and Amish Mennonites. Like Jews, too much of our identity, I believe, is wrapped up in we're different. It's subtle. It's less than it was in the past, but it's still there. And many Cradle Mennonites don't realize it. Today, we find ourselves scattered and isolated in our homes by a pandemic. We're anxious about an unknown future. I know I am. How many more will die? Will I get the virus? Uncertainty about jobs and income. When can we return to even a little of what life was like before the pandemic? And then we're highly anxious about our nation's future. A primary reason we gather to worship God regularly is to remember God's mighty deeds in the past. That's been what the church has done for 2,000 years. We gather to remember God's mighty deeds in the past. In doing so, we find encouragement to believe that God will work in mighty ways in the midst of our frightening circumstances today. The Holy Spirit moved in mighty ways in the early days of the church. The Holy Spirit worked through Christians on the margins to bring health and vitality to this growing movement. Apostle Paul wrote to encourage new believers in the church at Rome. Chapter 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. In the midst of our anxieties and fears about the future, may we be encouraged by the same Spirit of Christ working among us. The Spirit is sending people to us with spiritual gifts for such a time as this. The Spirit is calling some of us who have been here a long time to new ministries we never thought of before. The Spirit is helping us see unwritten rules which need to be broken. Yes, it will be disorienting at times, as it was for the early church. But we can be confident the Spirit is directing, as she did in the early church, on every page of the book of Acts. Our task is to listen and follow. I'll close with a word of encouragement for the coming days. Nearly 500 years ago, the Anabaptist tradition was born of a small group of believers whose commitment to following Jesus showed an alternative path to the widespread Christian practices of their day, which were bound up in politics and power. The Anabaptists said, there's a better way. Anabaptist groups in Colombia just 10 years ago, in the midst of horrendous violence in that nation, rose up publicly to commit themselves to be an active, visible, peacemaking presence. Their leaders were sent to prison. Members were killed by death squads. It was a terrible time of persecution, but their faithful witness inspires us in this time of enormous division and upheaval in the United States. The Columbian Anabaptist wrote, "Following Jesus, the Son of God, who we recognize as the Almighty God, we affirm our biblical and historical conviction that the way of peace is active nonviolence and love of our neighbors, especially the weak, marginalized, poor, and our enemies." I invite us to renew our commitment now to nonviolence in all of our relations, to perfect our love, to love and forgive as Christ loves and forgives us, to practice nonviolence in our families, rejecting verbal, physical, and psychological abuse. Out of love for our neighbors, whoever we come in contact with, to resolve conflicts in nonviolent ways, and to be active peacemakers in our community. We'll see that the message that has a lot more information about the Columbian Anabaptist story and specific resources to help us prepare for the unknowns we face in our nation today. Try to get that out tomorrow. May the same Spirit who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, who directed the early church to tell everyone everywhere about Jesus, who directed our Colombian brothers and sisters through a national crisis, dwell now in us and direct us. Amen.